My people tell me you're one of the best five in your field. Your fee will be £100,000. Your assignment to establish the facts.
Regarding what?
Survival after death.
You want me
to let me know if it's factual?
How could I convince you either way?
Give me the facts.
Where can I find these facts? I'm a physicist. The 20 years I've studied parapsychology, I've yet
If they exist, you'll find them in the only place I know on Earth where survival has yet to be refuted. The Belasco House.
This house, it knows we're here.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack episode 311. Yeah, like the band, like the 90s band. That's right. We are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian, the Mount Everest of haunted houses Dunaway.
Aw. Oh, hi.
Hi.
Good news, honey. We aren't spending Christmas with the in-laws this year. Oh, hey, can I borrow this glass? I want to see if I can fill it with some ectoplasm, you know, for studying. This thing will freak you out, does it? I'm not gonna make you scream nothing, right? All right, anyway, been meaning to ask you, are you offended by Busty Bust? Because that's the real legend of Hell House, Busty Bust. How can you walk by that thing and not honk it?
No, you'd have to tune in Tokyo every time you got near it. Well done. Also with us, Randy Ghost Sheets Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian.
Hi.
And thank you for joining us for this tour of Hell House. It's the Mount Everest of haunted houses. And I'm your guide, Belasco. We have three rules here that you must abide by in order to live through this week-long thrill ride. Number one, no sex. Don't have sex. Don't talk about sex. Don't think about sex.
Oh, man.
Sex will get you killed. All right, sex. Fine. Number two, mind the cat. Number three, the chandeliers fall. We keep hanging them up. They keep falling. You'll notice a chandelier-shaped indention on the floor. Don't stand there. What's wrong with you? You could stand anywhere else in this huge room and you'll be fine. See, you're doing it right there. And I just, look where I'm pointing. Mm. Don't stand there. Come on, seriously?
And don't go to church. Just stay out of the church, whatever you do. Finally, with us, we have Brian, touch me, or I will find someone who will Ibbit.
Something tells me that's going to come up in prom notes later. Hi, I need a cleanup over there at that old Belasco mansion. Yeah, Hell House, right? Okay, yeah, sure. We had some folks in there last week, and they left the place totally wrecked, all right? So here's what we got. We've got a dead cat in the shower upstairs, and nobody bothered to turn the water off, so it's soggy and smelly and practically liquefied at this point. All right, if you go down to the chapel, you'll find a dead scientist. Yeah, they left him behind, too. Wife just up and took off with a guy from Planet of the Apes. I know, real sad. Now, also in the chapel, over on the stairs, under a sheet, you're going to find a medium. No, the sheet's a large, the medium's a small. Yes, a small medium under a large. And whatever you do, don't try to change the vacuum bag in that large piece of mysterious equipment in the entryway.
Right.
That freaking 400-pound Star Trek computer. Yeah.
With one big Twinkie.
That was really good.
Were you going to use the, small medium?
My small mediums at large have just gotten...
You covered a lot of ground there, Ibbit. You did. I liked it. That's
a lot of material.
A lot of stuff to work with.
We're excited, ladies and gentlemen, to present our final episode of the Halloween season. Not final episode ever. We keep freaking people out when we say that. We mean of the Halloween season with The Legend of Hell House. Yes, that's right. You heard last week that it was supposed to be the Freddy Krueger number 2 movie there, Nightmare on Elm Street 2, and they pulled it, those bastards at Netflix.
How do that right before Halloween?
Exactly. How was that on the freaking schedule to do that? Did someone have a meeting and say, yo, guys, you know, it'd be funny. What if we pulled some of the most iconic Halloween movies ever right before Halloween? How about that? That's dumb, dude. So dumb. So we had to make a choice, and that choice was to jump forward to an alternate, which was The Legend of Hell House, 1973's British produced, however, originally in the book set in New England and here in America, I found out, a movie called Legend of Hell House, and it's about these people that do stuff, and Scott Fletcher has more.
Legend of Hell House. A team of paranormal investigators spends a dangerous week inside a haunted mansion to either prove or decisively debunk the existence of spirits. Previous guests of Hell House are known to have gone mad. Will this group survive the week? Will they? You have to watch this piece of shit to find out.
Now, you do. Him saying that, I just want to say, I don't think it's a piece of shit. I think it's a, a piece of beep. But I do think it's a it's an older movie, 73. It's not like they had all that kind of stuff figured out. It's also very, very British the way it's sort of presented, very puffed up and you know, well, hello, yes,
dead Alfred in the lead room. I mean, right. How much more British can you be?
Right, it's true.
His body's perfectly preserved. Yes,
he's fine. He built this place to protect his body.
This is the true story of four strangers forced to live in a house to find out what happens when shit starts getting real.
When things get real. Yeah. Oh my, look out for the chandelier. So it's a haunted house movie. And it's the
typical, here's a lot of tropes here. Is this the origin of some of these tropes? Maybe, you got to spend a night, this case, a week in a haunted house in order to earn your reward. Yeah. And that's what they did.
Mm-hmm. When you think about it, when you say it like that, it's a dumb setup, right? It's like, I want you to go prove or disprove life after death and prove the existence of ghosts. Okay, that's feasible, right? Makes sense.
Right.
But you have to stay there 1 week.
Yeah.
Well, what if I prove it on the first day? Can I go home the first day?
Yeah. Can you have some outs?
You know, it's a trope when they don't even bother. They just jump right into the story because it's like, rich man wants to know about afterlife. It's afraid he's about to die, needs to figure it out, willing to spend the money. They didn't set up anything. They just went straight into the tropes and just kept on cruising.
Yep.
Totally.
Yep. Yeah. Now, once they got there, I mean, it is another thing to do this in these kind of movies. You get to the house, and for a while, people are, showering there and chilling and kind of, oh, here's my bedroom and I'm off on my own. And then you hear a little voice and then you hear see a thing move across the room and then the door opens and shuts without anybody trying. And it felt like I was watching ancient ideas for what a haunted house would be. Like, old ways.
Like the house is only haunted certain times of the day, like 9:14 p.m. on Tuesday.
Yeah. Otherwise, they were way too chill around like dinner and things like that. They were just like,
It also constantly presented things that made you wonder, okay, did this movie/book story make this up?
Yeah.
Or are they referring to something even older that I've never heard of? Like ectoplasm. I'm like, whoa, 1973?
Yeah.
Right. Ectoplasm?
Yeah.
It was being quite... So it was an interesting concept at the time. It was being studied. And it was. There was a lot of things that I was kind of forward thinking. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Ectoplasm in a glass?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
That's very...
Machines that will get rid of the energy in a room?
Yeah. It's very Ghostbusters,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like a lot of
that stuff. The story, there's a trivia or somewhere, I can't remember if it was IMDb or Wikipedia, but talked about that the story of Belasco is kind of loosely based on the rumors about Aleister Crowley.
Oh, the cultist
wacky
guy.
Stuff that he was. Mr. Crowley.
Yeah.
That guy.
the Ozzy Osbourne had a song about him.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's and all of his, basically when Roddy McDowell is going down the list of what this guy was into.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that's going to be in clips later.
The isms. Yeah.
Right.
Y'all should look
cultism
at.
Cultism and sexism and alcoholism and drugs and you dabbled with Taron. Tags off of mattresses.
Sure. All sorts of illegal activity. If you look at the photos of Aleister Crowley, the guy that's based on, boy, that guy, whoa, he's a freaky dude. Every photo, every photo of that guy's face looks like there's hell to pay every time.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Yeah. That guy's a freak. Anyway. So that's the short of it. When I was weirded out by, okay, so basically here's your group. It's him. Your scientist physicist guy, and then he brings his wife who wants to go. I don't know why she wanted to go. That was crap.
That was such crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now I thought about it and I thought, well, would I want Kim to go to this? Probably. I probably would want her to go. Especially,
if it's like something relevant to you in the first place, right? Because like if you were going to investigate, I don't know, a new way to do podcasts, you might take her with you. Like it's not like she's
hey, honey, do you want to go to the haunted house where people die and get killed all the time? Right. This sounds like a perfectly normal thing to do.
But you got to remember, he doesn't believe in it.
Yeah, he's a total skeptic going in there. Yeah. But what I don't understand is if he's a total skeptic going in there, how did he, I have a lot of questions about the machine, but how did he have a machine that supposedly gets rid of ghosts if they don't exist in the first place? And how did the hell did it get in there? When did that happen? When did this two-ton piece of machinery make its way into the foyer?
The delivery truck drive away, and that's just a little bit of hand-waving like, deliver. Okay, there's the machine.
Yeah, that was really, that was super convenient.
No power cords attached to this thing.
They had a week, and I loved how this movie kept telling us what day of the week it was, and then it would show us
with random times.
Yeah,
right. It would show us 5 minutes of that day, and that's it. That was the whole day. Five minutes.
Were either of you guys or any of you guys bothered by the fact that anytime it would show the time, it would be like 9-14 instead of 9:14, the universally accepted way of writing time.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Like, what the hell's going on, you guys?
Yeah.
First of all, there's two things at play there. One, that's a stupid way to tell time. And two, why is everything Helvetica? Let's get a little creative with our horror movie.
It's the scariest font.
Yeah, I guess
Helvetica was very exciting in 1973, I'll have you know.
I guess so, because even the opening title that says The Legend of Hell House in big letters look like somebody's, you know, someone typed it on Word.
24-point
they did.
They did.
This thing got printed in white on a clear piece of plastic and overlaid right on the film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess the book was a lot more like pervy. Like the book had a lot of weird. I mean, they alluded to a lot of it, but there was a lot of sex stuff going on with spirits and people and. And, you know, constant, like that stuff was a lot thicker in the book. And in the book,
they did honk the boobs on the stairs.
Every time they walked past it, every single time.
There's also, it's really hard to get back into the mindset of, oh, wow, this was a really edgy and offensive film, you know, 45 years ago.
Yeah.
Like you have to kind of twist your mind. Like, the first time the main character starts yelling, God damn you to hell. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, wow, that was R-rated. That was really R-rated. People would,
intense.
You know, taboo. People probably told each other, don't go see this movie because it's so adult.
Well, here's the funny thing. It gets at a PG rating here in the States. It gets a X rating in Britain, which to them is equivalent to like our NC-17 at the time. That's crazy, given that they're nowadays, if you think about where the more sort of liberal stance on content happens, it's Britain is way more free with that stuff, and we are way more stringent with that stuff. At least I think we are.
Yeah.
So it's funny how that's sort of flipped. And in the end,
things have changed, yeah.
Yeah, and in the end, I mean, what did we get here? We got like sort of this ghost is doing it with me in the night moment, and then there was like a silhouette shadow boobs going for a second. But wasn't really, I mean, there was not much.
It's
here
a lot of implied by. Right, a lot of implied sex, but never any shown sex.
Yeah, like when the lamp is doing it with itself or whatever was going on there.
But again there's plenty of times where one of the women is moaning. And you have to infer a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of moaning.
And in 1973, it didn't require much effort. Like people would have seen this and been shocked, you know? And now we're like, oh, why is she moaning? She had something good to eat. Oh, I see what's happening.
Yeah, she had something good to eat. I know that it's just a different time for how British accents and British performers and stuff were, I think it was just different then. Like, I don't think we, like, in a weird way, we totally revere those people now. Like, it's just like those people, but you know what I mean? Like, we'll have like some movie just filled with British actors or a show like Game of Thrones with a primarily British cast or even the Harry Potter movies with all these like stage actors of renown, you know, it's just different.
I'd be curious. It always classes up a film in America when you have someone with a British accent. It always feels a little classier.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at is that's yeah, right. That's now. But was that true then?
That's an effect,
I don't know.
And that's an effect that works on us, but you have to wonder what it's like to have lived in England all your life and be watching this movie in 2016. Do they just seem like boring old people that aren't
bad
interesting
dialogue.
At all?
Bad.
Yeah, entirely. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Like today, one of the interesting facts about this movie is the girl in it, the wife. I can't think of her name all of a sudden. The actress.
Miss Barrett.
Yeah, she was she's from Texas, dude. She's not even from anywhere near Britain. So,
oh, really?
So she faked that accent the entire time.
Gail Honeycutt.
Honeycutt. And there's a part where she's crying where you can hear her Texas come out, and I'll play that later.
You can hear Texas come out.
Yeah. You can you can totally hear it, and I'll play it later. But she was what a beautiful lady she was. And I was really curious about her. She stopped doing stuff around 99 or so and just is chilling now. Like, everything's good. Most of these people are alive. Roddy McDowell's the only one not alive currently. Except I think the old guy at the beginning with the money.
Currently. Like he's going to come back or something.
Give him 5 years.
Oh, yeah. By the way, chick in the bucket this week is old guy with the money who pays to make this happen at the beginning. Right. We get no resolution on whether he
right.
had to pay anybody.
Does he dole out the money at the end? Well, only two of you, so you each get $200,000.
Well done. Roll credits.
You sounded a lot like Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, yeah.
I kept trying to figure out. I looked down. I'm like, what is that, Mr. Potter? No, yeah.
He is very, you could tell that guy was cut from a very specific actor's stone of, guys in their 70s, in the 70s, who were originally on stage in 1912.
Right. And he spent the rest of his later years on like cable local access television.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like introducing movies, right? Like I'm drawing a stereotype.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant
he sat in a chair and looked directly into the camera.
It's a little bit like that guy on whatever it is on PBS. Masterpiece Theater. Yeah, was that Alistair Cook? Was that his? Was that who's that was?
That no. sounds right.
There you go. No, go. Oh,
good evening.
Yes.
Today's presentation.
It'll come to me.
Will happen shortly.
Why are you talking about that when you talk about Clive?
You know what? It is Alistair Cook.
Oh, is
it? Good job.
Oh, wow.
Look at me.
Yeah. I can't remember Nicolas Cage's name like right as we're talking about him, but then I can remember Alistair Cook from some ancient time.
Pull out Alistair Cook.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Sorry, Brian or Dunaway, you said a name. What was the name? What did you say?
Yeah, Clive Reveal was his name. Revel.
Oh.
How do you say his name? Anyway, he was the Emperor's voice from Empire Strikes Back.
Oh,
our,
really?
Our Barrett guy.
Oh,
Doctor, the scientist?
Yeah, that's true.
Really?
I forgot. That's his Star Wars. He also has a Star Trek connection.
Oh, well. So wait. So is it just when Vader's talking to him over the spaceophone, or is it when he's actually there on the Death Star and they're
it's he was the
I just see it in the credits.
In Empire Strikes Back, there was a different Emperor than we got in Return of the Jedi. That Emperor,
monkey-eyed Emperor.
Correct. And in Strikes Back, you got him, and in the next movie you got that other dude, I forgot his name, but the one that became the Emperor,
right?
So that's totally true. Yes.
Ian McDermott
McRolney, Jim Bob Fremont.
Wow.
What's the guy's name?
I don't know, something like that. Ian not Ian Holm, but it's like Ian something.
Yeah, not Ian Fleming.
Nope Ian, I'm Fleming over here. Ian Flamrod. I don't know what it is.
Flamrod.
Something like that. But there's that guy. He's great. And so is this guy. Anyway, he's in Star Trek. We have a connection with him later. We'll talk about that. And he's still kicking it. Still doing stuff. Still alive. Still a guy. And you've seen him a million times. He just is a lot younger in this.
It is Ian McDermott. Okay, yeah.
Ian McDermott. Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ian McDermott.
All right.
McDermott with a D. Okay. That's what was throwing me off. It's like, what? McDermott? Ian McDermott Mulroney, what?
Dylan McDermott. Yeah, Mulroney. So, all right, real quick here. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So the only person who died is freaking Monkey Man.
McDowell.
Roddy McDowell. Yeah. So he died right.
Only actor who's dead. Yeah.
Yeah, he died the year
after. I'm sure the old man's dead as well, but.
Yeah.
In the wheelchair. Yeah.
Well, Alfred?
No, not Alfred. Well, he is dead, but no, the guy, the Money Man.
Yeah, that's what I think you're calling.
At the beginning, yeah.
Mr. Douche.
Yeah,
Mark.
I feel like Mark. We're in the middle of a bit where for 5 minutes we just say names.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt the same way.
I hope we're not in the middle of it. I hope we're at the end of it, and that'd be
okay.
And it's done.
My point was what? Roddy McDowell. People don't remember this, but he was one of the last roles he had was as one of the ants in Bugs Life.
Yeah.
He was great in that. Great in lots of stuff. Did all kinds of voice work. Did a bunch of stuff later in his life and died, I think, too soon. I think that guy's a super interesting actor. He's an interesting voice. I'm not sure I loved everything about him in this, but generally speaking, I'm a Roddy McDowell fan. I like him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the Planet of the Apes stuff, of course. Was he the voice of the little robot in Black Hole?
Yep. That is correct. That is totally correct. And he was also, let me think. Well, we know he's Cornelius from Planet of the Apes, but
right.
What else is he famous for? Other things.
Did he wear those really big glasses in Planet of the Apes? I couldn't remember.
No, but man.
On his monkey face.
Yeah, those bug-eyed glasses.
Those were brutal. I couldn't tell if
How
those
blind
were,
are you?
Well, so here's my, the question is, were those his or were those props?
Mm.
And you always hear about people having to wear overly magnified glasses for props and how hard it is to act in them and you get headaches and it's awful and stuff. But I don't know with him. I don't know. Maybe he had terrible eyesight. Maybe he had cataracts or something back then. They didn't have good surgery or whatever. I don't know. Because that's
some serious bug eyes from him, though, man. It was unnerving.
Yeah.
Did you also think that maybe he looked a little bit like he could have been the inspiration for Jim Carrey's character in Dumb and Dumber?
Oh, my gosh, Christmas? Yes.
A little bit.
He was doing so much Jim Carrey. Later on, which of course you can reverse that, but yeah, right. I thought the same exact thing.
Yeah,
there are times when you're looking, especially when he is screaming at the end and his turtleneck with his bowl haircut. It's like, wow, this could be a scene from Dumb and Dumber, the Exorcism.
Yeah, and even the gap in the front teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Totally,
it's
there. You could totally see it. All right. One other note here. Some trivia. Richard Matheson, who wrote the novel called Hell House, it wasn't The Legend of Hell House, it was just Hell House, also wrote this screenplay and had to tone down the graphic violence and intense sexual scenes that were in his novel to give the screenplay for the film a more brooding atmosphere.
Mm. Well, which is interesting because if you look at Matheson's, canon, there's not a bunch of like really adult stuff there.
Yeah.
You know, like a ton of what he wrote became movies, right?
Is it? I feel like he's a kind of writer. I don't know. I looked at it and I thought, have I heard of any of this? And I couldn't find anything
I
really heard of.
I Am Legend, The Shrinking Man,
oh,
What
that's
Dreams
him?
May Come.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that was him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I've read I Am Legend. Like, didn't know it was the same guy. I had no idea.
Yeah, he seemed to have a knack for writing books that were ready to be made into screenplays.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just like Stephen King always called Richard Matheson, one of his like creative influences. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I get that. I just don't. I don't think of all these things as, ooh, he was really X-rated writer and they had to, morph everything for movies. It just, I don't know.
I want to see a film. I want to see his film adaptation of The Beardless Warriors in 1960. That's what I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Or What Dreams May Come. Oh, wait, that happened.
Yeah, sadly.
Earthbound. That's a thing. It sounds familiar. I'm thinking of the video game. Camp Pleasant. There's a bunch of these. You're totally right. I had no idea. I thought he was just like a one-off. This was his thing. Big deal. Whatever. But I'm not knowing who he was until you just said all that.
I feel like we've talked about him a lot. Like just regarding What Dreams May Come and, of course, Omega Man, I Am Legend, like that seems to come up a lot for us.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. He adapted a 1971 short story called Duel into a screenplay directed by young Steven Spielberg for the television.
Right. Oh, is that his? Yeah. I did not know that. I love that Steven Spielberg.
That's a great movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere in Time is his. Oh, my mom would love that.
Duel would be a great one to see for Film Sack. It's, you know, just such a
Yeah, for sure. Classic. Well, anyway, now I feel like I've learned something about this guy. I had no idea. He's a little more prolific than I thought. Totally, but my impression of this movie was, if I were to read this person's novels, I would sleep and be tired a lot. Like, I just would be tired.
Right. I mean, it's such a dynamic, it's like such a dynamic group of characters, a physicist and a physical medium and a mental medium.
Can we talk about that?
The wife.
Yeah, let's talk about the difference between a physical medium and a mental medium.
Because it just struck me, like, right out of the gate in this movie, you know, the differentiation between mediums just bugged me, because it's not something we ever say or think about nowadays.
Well, right? We assume mediums I always assume a medium was a medium and there wasn't a distinction.
A differentiation. Yeah, totally.
Right, yeah. And so, like, you have to start with what is a medium? Why would we have that word in the first place, right? Well, it means it's a person who is a go-between, right? Between you and something you can't access.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I get that. Isn't everything a mental, physical, mental medium? Like, is this one and the same? Like, what? Right. Name something you do that is not physical. Good luck.
Right.
Their definition was one would just be a vocalization, whereas the other was a manifestation of energy that was projected physically. Right. And so that was kind of the sticking point for the scientists to try to figure out, well, what's going on here?
Right. It was their way of explaining why they needed to have two of them there.
Right. Yeah. No, you're totally right. I was just going to say that's your main reason. And the thing is, if you are I understand they're saying, well, one of them, they communicate through your brain or something. You know, they talk to you
that
way.
The other one moves shit around.
Yeah. Okay. The other one moves shit around. I totally get what they're saying, but everything in the end is a physical manifestation, no matter where you're at, and no matter what your brain's doing. It's all electrons, it's all physics, it's all this and that. So, yeah, it doesn't really work. And there's a quote at the top of the show, or the movie, by Tom Corbett, a clairvoyant and psychic consultant. Yeah. And here's his quote. This is one of the best quotes ever. He says, although this story, or the story of this film, is fictitious, the events depicted involving psychic phenomena are not only very much within the bounds of possibility, but could well be true.
Okay.
Says clairvoyant for the European royalty.
Yeah.
What? Get out of here.
This movie's shit, you know, based on shit, but it could be true.
Yeah,
could happen.
Could be true shit. Could be true shit.
based on a true story, as far as you know.
Yeah.
That's what it's
right.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty stupid. But I don't know. People were fascinated with this stuff back then, and they still are today. Like, we are back actually in the swing. In the modern era of, you know, what film era we're in, we keep going back and forth. It's like, for a while we're into slashers, for a while we're into paranormal stuff, and then we're back into haunted houses and possessions, and then we're back to slashers, and we just keep kind of rotating through this. And the new wrinkle these days is TV adds some tweaks to that, so you don't see a lot of zombie movies, because I feel like Walking Dead kind of has that locked down in a lot of ways. So it affects it. But generally speaking, we're in the middle of another This House is Haunted and Those People Are Possessed.
Favorite Haunted
time.
House. Favorite Haunted House movie.
Oh, favorite Haunted House movie?
Oh, geez.
Right. I can give you mine while you're thinking.
Yes, yes, go.
Yeah. Okay. The Poltergeist House.
Yeah, it has to be.
Buried on an Indian grave.
Built on an Indian burial ground.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And it was such a part of me growing up. I can't think of anything else.
I've got one. I've got mine.
All right, Brian. Ibbet, you got yours. Give us yours.
I have mine too. Yeah. House.
Oh, House.
Right. Just called House with William Catt and George Wendt. And it's kind of like a goofy but still scary haunted house.
Every week, someone had a brain tumor, and somehow House would figure it. Oh, wrong house.
first House would try to kill them, and then he would figure it out.
Yeah, there we go.
Exactly.
Randy, what's yours?
Okay, so I don't know if I've told this story on FilmSack before, so forgive me if you've heard it, especially that one person out there who listens to the old episode and then this one back to back. That's weird.
Yeah.
So in 2001, when this movie was released, the day it came out, I happened to be in San Francisco, and I went to the biggest, newest movie theater in the city, and I can't remember the name of the place, but there was when Sony would put their name all over all the technology inside the theater and this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting in this completely packed house in San Francisco among strangers. to see the movie The Others, starring Nicole Kidman.
I was just gonna ask if that was the one. That one really got me too, man. That's a hell of a movie.
The movie has no soundtrack, no score, and it has no special effects. The film is purely this quiet, slow, brooding kind of horror. And it starts, though, with complete silence, and you're just looking at things, and then suddenly a woman screaming.
Yeah.
And it was cranked up. Mm-hmm. And there were people in that movie theater who screamed, fell over, ducked, and two people got up and left after that.
Yeah, like, it was intense.
Going, nope. Yep.
The movie just started. And we're like 20 seconds into the film, and there were people leaving the room because of this scream at the beginning. It was so awesome.
I'm done.
Yeah. And that was a reminder, that was a PG-13 joint. Like, that was not even rated R, but it was so effective. I was freaked out by that movie. It got me good.
I feel like I'll never experience something like that again in a movie theater.
Yeah, that was something else. That was a big year for horror movies. You had The Others, Jeepers Creepers. 13 Ghosts was one I remember pretty prominently. One of the worst ones ever, Ghosts of Mars, is complete bullshit, but that existed then. That was the year. The Forsaken. There was also Brotherhood of the Wolf, which I think we've seen, haven't we? Have we seen Brotherhood of the Wolf?
It doesn't sound familiar, but there have been lots of movies that didn't sound familiar that we've apparently seen.
Yeah, for some reason that one's ringing a bell.
Retrograde? Nope, never heard of it. What is that?
Anacrid was that year. Jason X was that year. We have seen that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That weird, itchy, the killer Japanese thing. I still am sad that I saw it all and wish I'd never seen it, and we will never watch it for Film Sack. That was that year. It was big.
Get on the list.
Mummy Returns. Not really a horror movie. Tremors 3. We were only at 3 back then. Wow. All right. Anyway, 2001, year of the horror movies.
What was your favorite haunted house movie? Is it Amityville? What you got?
For me, it's also the one you said. Hard for me to think of anything outside of Poltergeist that got me as much as that did when I was younger, especially. So it's hard to pick one that didn't affect you in a formative year like that.
It's House is Clean.
Outside of that, the one Brian said, House the one, Brian, with the hand that's like floating toward the north doorknob? Okay, that one got me pretty good.
Yeah, pushing the doorbell or something. It's another movie that if it ever appears on Netflix, it needs to be instantly added to our list because it's so perfect for what we do because it's cheesy, it's special effectsy, but it's got the greatest American hero in Norm.
I was going to say George Wendt is in that. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, dude. Oh, Frighteners has a pretty good haunted house. Sorry, that's another one.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And we've seen that. Yeah,
and I've heard really good things about The Conjuring. Came out a couple years ago.
Yeah. Conjuring 1 and 2 are highly regarded as haunted house.
And that's a real, like, scary movie. Like,
supposed to be. Let's see. I'm checking here. Yeah, both.
Now,
both
how many of
these
haunted house movies we're talking about, because they make this differentiation in Legend of Hell House, is it the house that's haunted, or does it just have haunted people living in it?
Right. Is the house is haunted or haunted?
Well, I think you could have a house that's possessed. I think Poltergeist house is just a bad house.
It's possessed by
location,
something.
Location, location.
Right? Like you're asking if the ghost is walking the halls or in the walls, and I just don't know that I really care to make the difference.
In this one, they're definitely in the walls. Yeah. Literally in the house.
I like that you rhymed it though. Are they in the halls or in the walls?
In the halls.
I'm a fan. I think I'm more of a fan of when the house itself it feels like it's the possessed beast and not the people in it, or you know, spirits living in it. And I don't know why that is. I find that to me it's just another place. You're just in a place,
right?
And it's sufficiently cobwebby and shitty.
But you do bring up a good point, Randy. I mean, all right, Amityville Horror, is it just the dude who killed all those people whose spirit still is in that house, or is the house itself?
The guy wasn't that bad, but this is the gateway to hell right here, and he unfortunately lives at the gateway to hell, and he went crazy, and now he's hanging around, and so I think the gateway to hell story is always a good one for haunted houses.
Because then you don't have to have a dude in there. I guess the very definition of a haunted house means that it's haunted by someone.
Yeah, that's a good point. A haunted house is haunted by something or someone. Sure.
Right. It's not a haunting. Like a haunting house would be the difference.
I just like when the house itself.
Is it a haunted house or a haunting house?
I just like when the house itself is involved in, You know, like when the kitchen's freaking out and stuff's flying everywhere and the fire tries to get you and all that, like that guy in this one.
Oh my gosh, that one scene where the tables are going crazy, the fireplace is blowing up.
Yeah,
that's good times.
And probably the worst thing you could possibly, you know, do for dinner is have a metal tray with spikes on it that your meat is like impaled upon.
Right. No kidding.
A fully set table.
Yeah.
It's like, how many dangerous utensils can we put on here?
All I could think about was the pink lemonade they had in that vase.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Was that pink lemonade? Because was it supposed to be oil and vinegar? What was it supposed
to
be?
Like pink lemonade. It looked like pink lemonade. I could be wrong. But when, okay, so here's a question about suspension of disbelief. When that scene happens, dude, what is the target of it all sitting at the end of the table?
Barrett.
Our skeptic in the movie is getting things hurled at him and metaphysical things are happening all around him in a way that is undeniable. And his denial is that it's the house or the guy living there. His thing is, oh, somehow the girl's doing it.
Right.
Where does his skepticism start and end?
Right. Exactly. Like, obviously the ghost is doing this, but you're making the ghost do this.
Yeah. Like, it's super, that just left me and it made me go, well, I don't want to listen to him anymore. Cause he's kind of full of shit.
From what I understand, this is what he believes, that everything is manifested from the person. And because of the energy in the house, that person is able to focus that energy. He thinks as the medium is a manip of the energy around them, not influenced by anything beyond my understanding. Yeah.
But Scott has a good point, and that goes back to the very beginning of the film where he's like, I'm a physicist. Everything is physical. Like, how can you, I don't know how he got from there to here so quickly, but he didn't get to the obvious conclusion, which is that there's an unseen agency doing this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or at the end, right before he bites it, he's like, I can't accept these. You know, I can't accept this. I can't. He's like still trying to talk himself into thinking that all this isn't happening. Yet earlier, you were just fine blaming the girl for being able to move stuff around with her mind and try to kill you in that room. Like, it's just, I don't know. That guy was a real flip-flopper for me. He just didn't ever.
Apparently not taking care of things in the bedroom, if you know what I mean.
Oh, right. Yeah.
If you got to go to Rodney for sweet, sweet loving, your options are limited.
That is true. That is true. I wrote here in my notes that Roddy McDowell's glasses could kill a mound of ants.
Interesting.
I may have had a little cold medicine in me last night when I read.
Interesting
that.
Way what of looking was, at the glass.
What was the mental? Why was she staying in the sex room, honeymoon suite of mirror on the ceiling?
Well, it wouldn't
room.
Have mattered where she stayed, right?
Pink because lemonade on ice.
Like she was going to get violated because she's the mental medium. Right. So it's just, she may as well sleep in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then she got naked right there. That one scene.
Yeah. She got naked in there. You mean the medium girl? You mean the medium girl, right? That the one. Is she,
right.
Yeah.
The medium. Yeah. Not the wife.
She didn't go on to do much. I thought she would. I thought she was pretty spunky and interesting in this. And she went on to do a few things, but like 1980 or so, she quit acting. So she was out. She's like, I'm not doing this anymore. And what's her name? Kept going. All of them kept going. All of them had really long, and in some cases had careers before this that were already going well. So why she didn't go on, I don't know. She seemed pretty good. She struck me as the most energetic of the characters. The rest of them were sort of going, oh, yes, we must sit here and talk.
Right.
And she was like, wow, what's going on? This room's weird. Hee-hoo.
Except for McDowell, who was saving all of his energy for the end.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right. Yeah, right.
I got some great clips of that. I kept thinking it was going to all come down to he was the one doing it. He was possessed from the last time he was there.
Oh.
Right.
And he was just going to kill everybody. Too. Yeah.
You were looking for a twist in an old movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't happen that
way back then. He would be disappeared. Like, he'd be gone. Oh, I'm not going to be in the sitting. And then, stuff happens during the sitting.
Yeah. And he was always so creepy when he was in anything. They'd say, so what's going on with you, Roddy McDowell? And he'd go, oh, yes, the house has voices in it. And like, okay, well, shit, you're gonna be a problem later, aren't you? And he ended up being sort of positioned as the hero. At the end.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like just British sensibilities? I mean, if you were a good house guest, you didn't get pummeled to the face. But if you were a bad house guest and challenged the host, you would be murdered.
I guess.
Wasn't that the,
I guess so.
Like the fear of those guys?
Hmm.
There were a lot of what you might call English sensibilities going on here. I noticed there were a lot of things where I'm like, is this old or is this how they really were? You know?
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Because there's no way, like, you have to stop and imagine, what if my parents were doing this? You know, how would they have acted? And not like this is
no,
the answer.
Not like this is the absolutely the answer is not like this. I got a
trope.
Sorry, bro. Cut you off. Men have to help all the screaming ladies all the time.
Yeah, women yes. were definitely a second-class citizen in this movie.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Yeah, one of the best, one of the most lines that supports that theory is, "Oh, this machine is way too complicated for you, honey."
Yeah,
go sit there and look pretty.
Yeah, don't do anything that would make you. That's why I think I like the medium because she was, she I don't know, she didn't take any shit and she seemed spunky and was willing to stand up for herself and I don't know, she just was she presented
and she
a
was
different
given,
thing.
She was giving Two Chainz a run for his money with all the jewelry she had on, right? Because she was knocking it out.
She had that big old cross on her all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She had the little cross on. And then and ironically died from a giant cross.
Whoa.
Yeah, but not before she had a chance to scribble out some blood warnings.
Yeah, what was... I'm sorry if I missed something, some crucial detail here, but what the hell was the blood scribble? What was that supposed to be?
It's supposed to be a B in a circle. Yeah. To symbolize Belasco's, and somehow they read from that, it's not his son, it's Belasco.
Oh, I thought it was, I've died under this cross, and I only have one regret that I didn't use deodorant today, I have B.O.
No, that was more of that bad, I don't know if it was bad directing, bad writing, but it was all through explaining the situation where Roddy McDowall goes, okay, audience, here.
Yeah.
The B in the circle means that he's in the wall and that it's really just him. I get it now. No, you don't.
Yeah, we have so there's a modern version of that we saw recently with Da Vinci Code, where the guy at the beginning basically mutilates himself and puts himself in a big circular, you know, it looks like he's been some, you know, like some occultist has killed him. And spread him out naked in that museum, but he did it himself to give a bunch of signals to
to
Tom Hanks,
transformed man or whatever it is.
Yeah, and it's the same.
That was a fun scene.
It was such overkill. I think we talked about it.
His wiener is pointing north, which means he's the killer went north.
It was way overkill.
And it's
very attractive. But it's way overkill to try to explain what you want that guy to do. However, it feels like an evolution of this idea of I must quickly at the last second do a cryptic BO and then die.
Right. Were you surprised that they just kind of left her there and just put a sheet over and continued on their merry way?
Yeah.
I don't know. At that point, I wasn't that surprised.
We gotta
get through this week, guys.
Was she our first death? She was our first death.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you got cat. Okay. And
you have to say the cat, the shower cat. That was my favorite.
Shower cat, dude. Cat.
I'm telling you, that's a real fear. Being trapped in a room with a cat who is going ape cat. It would be terrible.
Oh my gosh, dude! I've been in a room with a cat that was kind of crazy like that. Didn't go nearly that far, obviously, but that is not fun. That is a scary thing. And if they're that aggressive, like holy shit, it's bad. If they have their claws. Yeah.
I didn't notice anything in the end credits that said no animals were harmed in the making of this film. And I know there was a lot of throwing that cat for those scenes.
That cat was already dead from the get-go. It didn't get hurt. It was already dead.
They didn't
care.
Well,
how did you see it walking around at the end? Or a different cat?
That was a different cat. But I did enjoy the cat claw underneath the door because that was like, I can relate. Right.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been on the can before with that.
One of the reasons that I'm a dog person and not a cat person is that a long time ago, my sister had a cat that was perfectly normal cat, except it wanted to kill me in my sleep.
Oh, that's perfectly
and
normal.
They all do.
It treated every other person really nicely. But when I would go visit my sister, I was like 18, 20, 22 years old, and she's much older than me, and she had a house and a husband and kids and so on, and a cat.
Yeah.
I would go visit my sister, and the cat would be just like, chilling with people, and then in the middle of the night I would be sleeping on the couch and the cat would ambush me and try to kill me.
Well, that's because you're sleeping in his spot, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you come over and he's like, I just want to sleep in this big thing.
I think most people know that cats are psychotic.
Yeah,
and
they're evil. They're evil generally speaking. I mean, there are times where they're sweet and wonderful, but then they turn on you. They're bad sometimes.
So anyway, I have been mauled by a house cat and it was never anything like what was depicted here.
Did it scratch you on the boob?
Scratch. Yes, I got scratched. What was depicted here was like a cat with a scalpel or something. I don't know.
By the way, can you think of anything worse right now than having your nipple torn off by a cat claw?
Oh, God.
Right. Can you think of anything worse?
That's a bad sting, man.
Just don't.
Cat claws?
Ooh.
Yes.
Don't
yeah,
put.
Yeah, because there's something. I don't know if it's like just the oils in there. In their nails or the fact they were just scratching in the litter box or whatever. But sometimes you get those scratches and they like raise and puff up and feel like infected and stuff.
Cause they're peepaws. That's why
they've
been burying their pee with the same paws.
Peepaws.
So, all right. Since we're at this juncture,
are we at the point where we're talking about what grossed Scott out?
Yeah. You guys want to know what grossed me out the most? What do you think it was?
Oh, okay. We got to see here. We're gonna
I'm going to guess.
It.
I know I'm going to be wrong, but, it's when a scientist's wife is running from the gross thing in the shackles and goes through a bunch of spider webs in her face, and it's like her hair is matted down from the spider webs, and it's in her face and her mouth and her eyes. And
you nailed it. That was exactly
really,
really.
Yeah, I cannot do. First of all, the spiders are quick because that was the door she came in and through.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So she goes up. When you open mouth, open eye through a big, thick spider web, that sounds like the worst.
And then slowly rotate like you're on a spit.
Yep.
Just like slowly rotate in there.
Like you're a cotton candy machine and you want to make sure you get all the cotton candy.
Oh, that sounds so gross. I just can't even think about it. A spider web right in the face, which has probably got spiders in it. Just open mouth, breathing in. Oh my gosh, that sounds so bad.
I thought it might have been something with Rodney McDowell when he was when he paused for just a minute, and he looked down at Miss Barrett's boobs before he slapped her. Because I'm like, wow, her boobs are so bad, he had to slap her.
When she strips down in front of him. Yeah.
I'm loving you refusing to call him Roddy.
Yeah, Rodney McDowell. Too. I did say Rodney McDowell, didn't I?
Yeah. Been calling him Rodney.
Rowdy McDowell.
I know why, too, because it's like Rod and Dowell. Like you're,
right,
you know,
right.
A Dowell Rod.
Missing my brain, man.
No. Rodney Dowell. Rodney Dowell. That's his new name. Just call him Rodney Dowell.
Oh, you can't do it.
So, I mean, there aren't too many other kind of body gross things in the movie, but that one, that one really got me. And just in general, I thought the house was just really well presented as a gross place I wouldn't want to be. Mm-hmm. And not that it was even that dirty, but the fog outside and the rooms with just limited lighting and shitty lights and stuff.
So
much wood. Yeah. So much in need of pledge.
Yeah. Big time. Lemon pledge.
Hey, can we say that this film was, I wouldn't necessarily say beautifully shot, but at least shot interestingly.
Sure. And Randy had said on
lots
Slack.
Of close-ups.
Randy had said something on Slack about how he was impressed with the special effects, and I have to agree. Like, they weren't flashy or anything, and obviously they were rudimentary in a lot of ways, but they really were well conveyed. And the way even that ectoplasm out of her finger stuff looked kind of cool. And
it was just fine. And the galloping dinner table, I went back. I was like, oh, I got to see how they did that. And I went back and looked at it, and like, I couldn't figure it out. It was however they did it. It was very. Now, obviously, there's times when there's just two guys under the table. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Like, because they're only showing you the top of the table.
Yeah.
But there was an over the shoulder shot where you could see the top and the bottom and the legs of the table. And I don't understand in 1973 how they did it. So kudos.
Yeah.
When Roddy McDowell is yelling at the spirit at the end where he gets yanked back. And you can see a line pulling him back.
Oh, really?
It's one of those ones where he kind of flies backwards.
I love seeing that.
I forgot to also mention, I did something. I watched this movie very differently than I usually do. Usually it's like Friday afternoon. I'll pop up and take an hour and a half out of my day and watch the movie sitting on the couch. Well, Tina was watching her shows, and I didn't want to come down and watch it on my computer. So I fired up the PlayStation VR. And I put on the VR, put on Netflix, put on headphones to block out any other noise. And the only thing, it's a pain in the butt because you can't really take notes during the movie because you can't see what you're writing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I had to remember all my notes and write them at the end. Mm. But this is when you're watching a movie on the PlayStation VR, it's like a giant screen right in front of your face. Yeah, it's like you're at a big, yeah, like a big IMAX screen.
Yeah, I've done that. I do this on my Vive as well. It's like a, it is like you're in a giant theater, but it's weird in that in a lot of cases, there's some that simulate like that you're in a seat in a theater with other people, but it can feel like you're
really?
In this, you feel like you're in this black void sometimes, you know, where
totally,
it's just,
yes. Yeah, really and weird. So watching a movie like this, I feel like it had an extra level of,
intensity,
creepiness, and what's the, when you're afraid of enclosed space, claustrophobia. There's definitely a little bit of a claustrophobia thing when you're watching a movie like this through something like that.
Yeah.
And I just had to throw it out there that it's a really, really cool way to watch a film and not be distracted by, oh, what's I just got a tweet, or what's my iPad doing, or what's this? Mm-hmm. Like you're just so and focused.
This movie's full of really a lot of close-ups too. So
a lot.
I bet you did, feel like. I'm like, right.
Yes.
By the way, those
smell
when they
Rodney McDowell's bad breath.
You knew he had it too. There's no way that breath was good. But like, there's the they kept doing this, and I put a thing in Slack about it because it just is so weird. They'd have moments where there'd be a one-on-one dialogue or something, and it'd be just like a normal scene, normal camera placement, and all of that. And then suddenly, it would shift to them looking like two heads on the electric company talking about how to spell a word, like. And they were almost like not looking at each other, and one was kind of in the background, a little bit of foreground for the other guy, and they were like, they would hold that position and have their little conversation, and then it would go back. That was freaking weird. Like, what a weird style to just suddenly throw into your movie, and they did it like three times, and it always felt weird and off to me.
But that's what it's supposed to do, right?
Yeah,
I guess
to make you feel well. That and it goes back to well, a couple of things. They had they were doing a lot of low lighting shots. That's always hard, especially in 73.
Yeah.
And they were using the actors' faces to make us feel like there was real danger going on. Yeah. So instead of showing the danger in the background, they were going up really close. I thought it was real competent. I thought it was real well done.
Yeah.
That part of it.
Yeah, that stuff was good. They created a real brooding thing. The only other complaint I would make about the rules of the world they're in is if all you needed to do was yell at the ghost. Couldn't you have done that in the first day?
Tease it about its height?
Yeah.
I'll bet you're only 5 feet tall. Ooh, I'm leaving.
Just yell at him. That's all Roddy McDowell did. He just went, brah, and the ghost finally left. I'm like, well, great. That giant machine didn't do shit.
Right.
You know, all this week long. It's, by the way, making everybody work through Christmas. What a bummer that was.
Right.
Like, it's just dumb. Like, that. If that's all it took.
No, but. Too Christmas easy. Though, right? Like Christmas Eve, they walked Eve out.
The yeah, but this, yeah,
well, right. Christmas was definitely ruined.
This is like okay, this right. is
yeah.
like
for scientist, yeah. husband, scientist wife, who by the way, you know, pretty much got over her husband fairly quickly and didn't seem at all.
Oh yeah, she's
like just shaken to the core, like, oh my god, my husband just died. Like, oh okay, you're gonna yell at him. Be careful, gosh.
Yeah,
don't yell at the ghost.
Not only is he dead, he's got all these candles on him, and his eyes are gouged out, or whatever was going on with him there at the end. She seemed to just be fine. Her and Roddy out the door. His glasses are off, and he's looking fine. But
they
here's
they got to collect half of the earnings, which was what, $200,000 a piece.
Maybe
they were doing all right.
So, yeah,
maybe if they, we never know. But here's the thing: it's like in Star Trek: The Next Generation. And Brian, you Dunaway, you can relate to this because you're always talking about it. But they'll go, you know, 45 minutes. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Oh my gosh, all is lost. And the last 5 minutes, Geordi or Data will go, hey, if we just emit a tachyon beam, it'll fix the deal. And that's all this is to me, is like problem, 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 problem. Oh, wait, we got 3 minutes left. I'm just going to yell really loud at the wall. And then and now we're out. It's just that seemed, I don't know.
Problem
cheap.
Solved.
Just a little cheap. Yeah. That's all.
Oh, it was that science experiment Wesley's been working on the entire time. Let's just throw it off the ship.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, everything's fine. And we're Captain's log. Everything's fine. Like that. All right. What else is there's more. Oh, I guess I don't know. I don't have any more notes. You guys have any more notes? You got more notes for you want to hear clips? You want to hear clips? What do you want?
I want to hear
I'm ready
for clips.
There was one trope I just wanted to bring up.
All right, let's do it.
Hold on.
The trope of forgetting the trope.
The trope
of forgetting. So typical.
Oh, did you notice that both of the women let their hair down pretty soon after everything starts going wrong?
Yeah.
I love that. I love that whole thing. Like, there's not really a man. In some movies, the trope would be the man takes his shirt off and now he's He's, you know, he's bare chested.
He gets him some sweatpants. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, I just got, yeah, you know, let that things are going horrible. Let your hair down. I'm here to tell you, I have long hair right now.
Yeah.
When things get difficult is when I put my hair up.
But you know, Roddy did do that. He stopped wearing his glasses about halfway through. He got, mm-hmm. you know, he did start
just
buttoning
them
up with
his hand
his
and like
necks.
Use them. Mm-hmm. Use them to kind of wave his hand around, like, oh, glasses.
Go, well, look how thick these are. Holy shit, I can't see anything.
I'm building up my glutes.
You're amazing what upper body you can get by throwing around some big glasses.
By lifting those glasses. Yeah, it's really impressive. Not the glutes, I know. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. It's a butt, right? Isn't the glutes
the butt? Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's fine. Hey, look at this. Delts. I've got some clips. They start with this one where, well, it's the name of the movie.
Hell House.
Yeah, Hell House. It's a Hell House.
Okay, wow.
Hell House.
Here's
Hell House. The name of the movie?
Oh,
Hell
the Belasco
House.
Mansion.
Ah, yes.
You mean Hell House?
Yes, Hell House. End times. All right, here's
the music. You could hear it. There's a little bit, but there was this tribal drum beat with like these horns. Oh. Occasionally, it was pretty effective.
We haven't talked about that yet. Yeah,
let's talk about that because that is also a trope.
Yeah.
The exotic, like in this case, it's kind of like there's a Polynesian luau going on the beach somewhere.
Yeah.
That is a great trope.
But they also
mix it
with like discordant, just annoying. Like it's the horns. 70s thing. Yeah. Remember that frog one we saw with the.
Yeah.
What's his name? Sam, whatever his name is.
Elliot.
Anyway,
Sam Elliot.
Yeah. Every scene is punctuated.
Took his shirt off.
he took his shirt off and then he started kissing the frogs. That was weird.
That. Oh, that made me laugh funny. it was, but they do this. Like the 70s is famous for it. Just that kind of things where it's shit going on. I hate that. It scares me.
In this case, it was supposed to evoke something, you know, fearsome and unknown and distant, you know, mm-hmm. but there was nothing scary in the house that was like Caribbean voodoo or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it was just total disconnected
out
thing.
Of place.
The drums.
Yeah. I agree. It was weird, but
it worked for some reason.
It somehow worked. Yeah, I don't know why it worked here, and mm-hmm. it doesn't often in others. All right, here's 10
there
seconds.
There was also.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, go I was ahead. Gonna say there's also the same music cue every time they'd show the time and date.
Yeah,
still don't understand the time and date. I guess forensic. It's supposed to be scientific, possibly. Recording of events or something, but the dates were timed.
It's also
random.
To say you're deeper in, you're going deeper. Like it's supposed to be evoke that, I think.
And it's supposed to be thinking of like how many days do they have left? Oh my God, they have a lot of days left.
It's Christmas. Do they even have a tree? Well, how will they get gifts?
Right. That's what I kept thinking about. And the medium, she's all like, she's really Christian in her dialogue, and I'm like, isn't she even concerned about?
Yeah, she should have Christmas. Come
right?
on, man.
I'm like, mm-hmm. kind of,
yeah. She should get Christmas. Christmas should come to Hell House.
Christmas comes to Hell House. I'd see that movie.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
It's a great idea.
Here is, I just wrote this house. Anyway, it's 10 seconds. Here you go.
This house. It knows we're here.
Miss Tanner.
Sorry, I'll keep my observations to myself.
I know, yeah, because you're, why? Because you're a woman, or what's the deal?
Exactly.
But here's the thing.
Fine, then, I'll just shut up.
That's the other thing about the sound of the movie, and you'll hear this in a lot of these clips. There's like an air conditioning going on or something all the time in the background. Always some hum or hiss or blow or something in the back. Here's Roddy McDowall doing his thing.
If there's anything you'd care to tell us.
What's to tell? The house tried to kill me. It almost succeeded.
Yeah, I'm sure there's no details or anything more nuanced than just
nothing more than that.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to know how, right? You don't care about the details.
So that ambient sound, I think, is supposed to be wind outside.
Oh,
right.
All right. Is it
like
it's consistent?
Yeah,
that's the noise between Roddy's teeth.
Close your mouth, Roddy.
Shut your mouth, boy. All right. Here's a. Oh, I wrote loved Roddy McDowall. I must have liked this line. Here you go.
His first name was Emmerich. He was born on March the 23rd, 1879. He was the illegitimate son of an American munitions maker.
What did he look like?
I just really liked his delivery there, I guess.
It was fun.
I don't know.
I just read his biography.
He does that really well. He did that in Planet of the Apes a lot, too. Just rattle off stuff.
Yeah. It's impossible to separate the voice from Cornelius, isn't it?
Yeah, right. It really is.
He's so that character. I got some captured audio of Ibbot's prom date.
oh, thank goodness.
This is describing you after the date. So the date is over, and now this is the description.
His was a frightening visage, like the face of a demon that had taken on some human aspect.
All right, well, that seems less than favorable, I just want to say.
Well, you know, when the date doesn't end the way I want it to end, I get a little angry.
You need to have an Ibbot ending. Is what
when I paid a lot for dinner.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Roddy McDowell won't make out with you. And yeah,
that's right. Exactly.
Here's a creepy voice change number one.
I don't know you people. Why are you here?
Yeah, that's creepy.
Oh, that is creepy. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it. Here's some angry ghost acting.
God damn you, you filthy sons of bitches. God damn you.
Wow, man, that guy, that lady, they're, whew, that's
And that's what I'm, like, I kind of pointed at that and laughed and then realized, oh, this was really something in 1973.
Yeah.
That was scary.
Here's the sounds that scared me bad, I wrote. Okay, here's how I described that. I don't remember what this is, so I might be scared now. Let's see.
That ultrasound, kind of.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Was that during the sitting where the ghost passed through the net?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that was the scene where they were seeing what the baby sex was on the monitor. Yeah. There. That's what that sounded like to me.
Normal, healthy baby.
You're having a really short baby.
Leave a sample of the baby in the glass, please.
Speaking of which,
tell me you had that one.
I have a clip of Brian Dunaway in his recent trip to the sperm bank.
Good.
This is what the guy behind the counter told you.
Leave a sample in the jar, please.
There you go. I hope you comply.
I left you two samples.
No, he asked for a sample.
Oh, a sample. All right.
Just want to make sure we get that right.
That's equivalent to three samples in America.
The ghost has just tried to, like, throw a meat tray at you and burn you with the fires, and all of a sudden you say, oh, you like a sample? Sure. Okay. All right. This glass right here? Yeah. Okay, sure. I'll do that.
Yeah, what the heck? And he's asking it, please? And this is a guy who doesn't think this is actually happening. Right?
Right. How do you know where to put the glass so that the ghost trails are going to go right over it and can drop a little sample in there or make its way over there?
At the end of this, he's the craziest character in this.
Right. But right here, he's just giving the ghost instructions.
Right. I guess so, but he doesn't even believe it's a ghost.
Give us some details on how we can get rid of you, please.
Yeah. All right. We talked last week. We had an emailer talking about the Scream. Woke him up in the middle of the night, the Scream episode that we did where somebody edited together all the screams. I've heard from the person who did that. He says he's actually got a volume 2 and 3 in the works.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you about to give him a new one?
To give him a new one, yeah. I'm about to offer him an olive branch here with a brand new Scream. Nice. So here's one of the worst I've heard in a while. All right, there you go.
Wow.
That was Miss.
It's pretty good.
That was Miss Barrett ruining everybody sitting. Miss Barrett.
I wrote, mediums have no fun. I don't know what this is.
I'm not a medium for the fun of it, you know. It's often painful, often unrewarding.
There you go. That's so British, that whole thing. That's some British
I only make $72.18 per sitting.
Yes. Meanwhile, you find me in my sex room. All right.
I'll be getting it on with Daniel.
This is a nice follow-up to the Nick Cage of last week when he said a lot of, what the hell are you doing? I found one of those in this. So here you go.
What the hell are you talking about?
There you go. Just a little short one there for you.
Nice.
I like to get...
naked.
All right. Naked.
Sweaty.
Sweaty.
And moist.
Anybody else think... anybody else think repeatedly while watching this movie, wow, this is way better than Wicker Man?
Yeah,
actually it did.
Yeah, a lot of times. Everyone acted better, I can tell you that. Like, freaking Wicker Man. What the hell was that anyway? I made a really fun GIF out of it, though. I made I was interested in just learning how to make GIFs in Photoshop anyway from video. I'd never done it, and I thought, well, I'll just try this with this. And then I realized I've made a GIF I can use anytime something gets heated on Twitter, something goes bad on Facebook. I just have an answer. Here's my meme. I'm out jumping in the lake.
That's a weird way to jump into the lake as well.
It totally is.
Sideways, that was what's twisty, weird about it. Yeah, that's a half gainer with a double fledge.
It kind of looks like he, at the last minute, decided he didn't want to jump.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get back to the dock.
Yep. And he's still he's in his full suit. I'd prefer him to be
naked.
Should have jumped in naked. All right, Dunaway, you'll like this. I got the cat attack for you. You ready for this? So here you go.
What in the name of God?
It didn't sound like a cat, did it?
That's a cat whose paws getting squished by a producer.
Oh. No, it sounds like giving a cat a back rub or something. They just enjoy that so much.
Or that
back
stupid
rub with a
with the rolling pin.
Exactly. Yeah, that's not something to make you a cat noise. I think that's really a cat, and they're molesting that thing.
That sounds awful. All right, I don't know what this is.
Would you like me to examine you?
No, I wouldn't. Like it.
Would you like me to examine you?
No, please don't.
Like that, wouldn't you?
How do you know?
She didn't either, right? Like,
nobody wanted Dr. Barrett to examine. Not Mrs. Barrett, not anyone.
Not even Mrs. Barrett. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't touch me with your dirty British hands. Here's how you know that one, the wife was from Texas. Her accent comes out a bit, and when she's crying. So here you go.
I just don't know why I went down those stairs.
See? Can you hear it?
Yeah,
you're right. I didn't even hear that originally.
Isn't that funny?
I don't know why. I got the vapors.
I got the vapors. Yeah, she's totally like Rhett Butler style Southern lady in that part. McDowell's screaming is pretty good. So here's that.
Wow. That's top five screams of film set.
That's fantastic. Right. Oh, that's somebody gets a question wrong in Stump Daryl time. That's where you use that.
I should use that. We'll refresh that. I think that's a good idea. I like that a lot.
By the way, that's actually made by Roddy McDowell when he's getting his fingers squeezed by a producer.
Oh, right. Yeah. Here's him taking a poop. Just kidding. It's the same.
Now, was that at the same
You do need to insert a couple fart noises in there, Scott.
Well, I may have a treat for you here coming up. so watch for that. All right. He doesn't like Daniel.
Daniel.
I don't remember who Daniel was. Was that the house guy?
The son. The fake son.
I always forget the name of the guy she was saying was there and that no one believed her.
You are older than me. Do you still feel the pain?
Do you?
How many nicely done. Nicely done. Thank you, Elton John.
How many languages do you speak? Here's Voice of Hell. What? Oh.
Who the hell do you think you are, you bastard?
Well, yeah. Sounded like Monty Python.
That slowed down voice is creepy.
Yeah, I agree.
It is.
Oh, my gosh. I got another clip. Ibbot's girlfriend again. This is during prom. All right. During prom. Okay.
You might have been hot stuff when you were 15, but now you're shit.
Wow.
But am I hot shit?
Shit.
That's not nice.
Shit.
That's a great. That is a great enunciation of shit.
Shit.
It is.
All right. Okay. Here's how ghost body stuff works. How the physical and the paranormal work together. Listen very closely. This is really important, kids. Okay. Here you go.
The body emits a form of energy invisible to the human eye. This energy can be expanded far beyond the confines of the body, where it can create mechanical, chemical, physical effects.
There you go. So,
you missed an opportunity. Mechanical?
I know. I should have been a little at the end. I could have kept going. Here's what's. Oh, I didn't know. This is how you pronounced it.
Hell House would be exorcised.
Exorcised. Is it exorcised or exercised?
Exorcised.
I know I made this recommendation last week, but that exorcism show on Fox is really good. Or the, what's it called?
Exorcist. Oh, The Exorcist.
Yeah, it's great. It has no right to be good, and it's good. People should watch it. I'm weirded out how much I think that thing's good. And it probably won't last because Fox is their dicks.
And it's called Exorcism?
It's called The Exorcist. I believe.
Okay, exorcist.
The exorcist. Here's, exorcist. Just, I don't know what this is.
I do not accept this.
Now you do. They're all. It's all in your eyes and stuff, buddy.
Oh yeah, that was every piece of glass from all that equipment just right into the face.
Yep.
Shit.
Tubes to the face.
That's what he should have said. It was
shit
when he after it was done. What's my? Oh, these are the instructions my Rubik's cube came with. This is a dumb dad joke, but here it is. Okay, my Rubik's cube came with these instructions.
You can't solve it. It cannot be solved. You're gonna die.
It was really disquieting. It's disquieting to get that in the box.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, the 3 pages of instructions and one piece of information on each page, and
yep, big yellow Helvetica font each page.
A little diagram.
Yeah. And then finally, this sound was bad, is what I wrote. So there's that. Oh gosh, dude, McDowell, don't. He's just sounds standing like there allergies. Gargling or something. It's so awful, dude. Anyway, well, those some of those clips, they were real.
Shit!
All right, time to move on.
You know, this movie was edited by Jeffrey Foote.
Who's, really?
What?
Yeah.
Tell me he did it with his feet, please.
That's the editor, is Jeffrey Foote.
Spinning knobs and cutting tape with his feet.
All right.
Yeah, I love that idea. All right, here's the checklist. The film sack checklist begins like this. Lionel, which is his name, can sure sleep when he needs to. Check. That guy just wouldn't wake up. Debauchery and vice. Check. And everyone dies because Cornelius was kind of a dick. Check. Hey, Star Trek stuff. We got a connection here. Two of them, actually. Richard Matheson wrote the novel and the screenplay. He wrote the episode The Enemy Within for the original series of Star Trek.
That's a great one.
I did not know that. Also, Clive Revel, who was Dr. Barrett on TNG, played Sir Guy of Gisborne in the 4th episode of Cupid in 1991 on TNG. So I
none of that,
that
made sense. What you just
do you
said.
Remember
all that sounded like just words.
If
you
look
up
Sir Guy of Gisborne, that is absolutely a thing, and I want to say he was like a holodeck dude or something.
Is it the Gisborne?
It's
is he the Gizwiz?
Oh, you know what it is? It's from the Robin Hood episode. That's what it is. And he was Sir Guy of Gisborne, who is a dude or Gisborne. Aren't we all Gisborne in the end? He's part of the actual lore, but you never hear about him except I guess Star Trek. So there you go, Guy of Gisborne.
You're just gonna keep saying it. You're not going to ever stop now.
I can't help it. Soundtrack, great. I'd give this an S for 70s. It just feels like it was definitely made then. And then now it's time for the Twitter post. This is a thing I really like because you guys get to sum this up in 140 characters or less. Let's begin this with Randall.
Ah, the legend of Hell House. Click here to read about the investigation into the Mount Everest of haunted houses, and you'll never believe the top 6 things they found. Number 2 blew my mind. And it was all number 2.
The legend of dead cat in the freaking shower that won't turn off house is what this should be called. And now that's all I can think about since you guys brought that up. That shower's still going. That cat's still in there.
Yep.
With its mouth open and its ridiculous fangs.
Yeah, it was real stupid. Next up, we have Brian Dunaway.
Legend of Hell House. Like, this could totally happen. Yours truly, Tom Corbett, clairvoyant to film sack royalty. Pretty sure I'm dead.
Yeah, pretty sure he's dead, too.
Which hell am I in, anyway?
Explain that, yeah.
Which hell is this?
Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Legend of Hell House. If there's something strange at the Belasco house, what are you going to use? Ghost vacuum.
Nice. Nicely done.
Yeah, that was good. I didn't expect to
do a second verse, but ran out of characters.
That's well done. Oh, look, just in time. I have right here the alternate titles. It was almost called Strawberry Jam Blood. I hate that blood. or Blood Cat Needs a Shower. All right, we got an email from a listener whose name is Albert. He says this: "Hey guys, Albert here, and was wondering if each of you had an all-time favorite Halloween movie." He says it twice. If you had an all-time favorite Halloween movie of all time, you could share.
Nice. Okay. Like Kanye.
Yeah. Thanks, Albert.
Of all time.
Albert in Iowa. Well, Albert in Iowa. Do we have... I doubt it matches with our haunted house thing earlier, right. But let's go around. Dunaway, what do you like there? What's your favorite?
Sure. Sure. The movie I watch every year is one we've discussed about here on Film Sack to Sack, and that is Sleepy Hollow. I enjoy that.
I still haven't seen it. Damn it.
Kooky movie.
Still haven't seen it. I really want to. It was one of those Tim Burton movies that got raves, and I just never got around to it, and I don't know why.
Right. It's good. It's good. It's Johnny Depp does a good job in that movie, as far as I'm concerned. It's very Deppy. It's good.
Do you guys, Randy, you got a thing? What do you got there?
I love watching Scream every year. It's fun. It's funny. It's real. Like, it's real witty. I don't see anything wrong with Scream, and it's got Matthew Lillard.
Yeah,
right. Be better.
And Courtney Cox.
Shaggy.
I know. Like, he's just. Wes Craven was not a master of anything. Like, Wes Craven just made, like, right down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Good scary movies.
Yeah.
But man, just putting Matthew Lillard in this film, just, you know,
yeah,
it's elevated.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, Scream is now 20 years old.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Wow. You just keep reminding us of the, like, how old these movies are, by the way.
Yeah. Well done. Someone needs to do it. I guess it should be you. All right. Brian, I know you're going to say Ernest Scared Stupid, but maybe not.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite?
Surprise, right? It's funny. There's no movie that I watch every Halloween, but my favorite movie that contains Halloween in it is E.T.
Mm. Oh, that's so funny. I was thinking about that too. Yeah.
But my favorite, like, if you were to say pick a good campy, scary, goofy movie for Halloween for us to watch, I'd probably oddly enough pick Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh.
For whatever reason, I connect that with Halloween, even though
I do
there's
too.
There's no real connection it has to Halloween.
I do too. Yeah. I think that's a fine pick.
I could see that. People watch that at Halloween lots of times.
Yeah. Have any of you guys ever, like, gone to a theater that's doing the Rocky Horror Picture Show and seen it, like, in a midnight showing?
Oh, like five or six times in high school. We went all the time. We loved it. And for some reason, I've talked to you about this before. For some reason, at the ones we went to, they had the spray bottles and the toast, but they also had hot dogs. And they were throwing uncooked hot dogs at people. And I don't know why.
Aren't hot dogs already cooked? There's cold hot dogs.
Okay, cold, non-grilled, sort of just out of the package with the hot dog water.
Right.
By the way, I have a son-in-law now, you know, my 21-year-old daughter is married. And that still seems weird for me to say that. I'm still sort of getting used to the idea that I'm still kind of a relatively young guy.
You're someone's father-in-law.
I know,
too.
It's weird. It's really weird. But anyway, he's awesome. We love Dylan. But this is how we get him every time. All you have to do is say hot dog water in front of him. So meaning the water that hot dogs are packed in.
Yeah.
He will visibly, physically gag every time you say hot dog water.
It's like yogurt soda for us.
It is.
It's some sort of PTSD with
it's true. You have him at dinner and he'll just be sitting there, everyone's having a lovely time, and I'll just look at him and go, Dylan, I go, what? And I go, hot dog water. And he'll go,
can't wait to see him in your tacular.
He's a great
kid. Warm hot dog water is not that bad. It's when it gets cold that it really gets disgusting.
Well, now is it the water that the hot dogs are cooked in, or that residual water that's in the plastic?
Oh, the stuff that comes flowing
out.
It's all the same.
I agree, but what we're talking about here specifically is the latter, the stuff in the package that's the residual.
The ballpark Frank
juice.
Wee.
and Brian Dunaway, hot dog water makes a great cup of tea if you go ahead and put the tea bag right in there
right.
when it's still hot.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah, put your wiener water in your tea bag in there is what Brian Randy said.
Celestial seasonings and protein.
Speaking of.
I got to do my movie. I like Nightmare Before Christmas. We watch that every year at Halloween, at Christmas.
I forget that's, I mean, it's your Halloween and your Christmas movie.
It's kind of a combo movie, but I don't ever watch it at Christmas. We always watch it at Halloween, and it's, like, you know, required watching for the kids and me, and we love it. So there's that.
Right. I can see that.
I don't have anything that's, like, super scary that I like to rewatch. What usually happens is time will pass and you realize that what you saw wasn't even that really scary. It's just kind of dumb. So nothing really sticks with me. Like, if I want to be campy and be with some friends and watch Evil Dead 2, I'll do it. But most horror movies are just kind of dumb. Anyway,
you guys catch the yearly It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, because this year is number 50.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, is it really?
Wow!
Oh, wow!
Wow!
Mm-hmm. Did they do anything special to it, like 3D-ize it, or add a deleted scene of Linus
Finally meet
doing it with pumpkin. A pumpkin pie or right? something.
By the way, Business Insider has a list of the 23 best horror movies on Netflix for Halloween. I'm going to tell you what they are just briefly.
They're none of the ones we picked, right?
The Taking of Deborah Logan. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Logan.
Honeymoon. The Wicker what? Man. They said The Wicker Man's a good
the
one.
Man. The Wicker Man.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Like a bird.
Here's it's a Pontypool. It's some British zombie horror film set in a radio station. That sounds fun. Starry Eyes. Don't know what that is, but the girl on the front is all nipply. Night Watch, Monsters, The Host, The Sacrament. We Are What We Are, Creep, Jaws. Oh, yeah, Jaws is on there. Reanimator, VHS, The Guest, and A Girl Walks Home at Night. I haven't heard of any of these.
See, I'm done with Business Insider. Like, it's the new Examiner, and it's just like anybody can write for a penny an inch or whatever. Like, I mean, it's like, I don't know. I'm just done with it.
Oh,
I'm
by the way,
go to these sites anymore.
No, I agree. They kind of suck. But I they have the Babadook on here. I watched that. That movie was great and scary as hell. Great. I was surprised how scary that thing was. It freaked me out, and I really like the actress in it. I can't think of her name, but
Babadook.
I like her a lot. And also, yeah. Hellraiser makes their number one spot, which we've seen.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah, Pinhead, you know, vagina neck and all that.
Mm-hmm.
all right. Well, thanks for the email, Albert in Iowa. If you want to send your own emails in, you can. They're real simple, filmsack@gmail.com. And that's going to do it. What's our, are we Saturday Night Live in it? Or no?
All right. So we're taking off a week.
Yeah. Because we're all going to be at BlizzCon. And if you're at BlizzCon, come say hi, because three of the four right. of us will be there. Randy's going to be very busy. It's also your birthday that weekend. Happy early birthday. I don't know how much chance people are going to have to tell you that there. But we'll all be in Anaheim, except Brian. Brian will be home. Glad that he's
killing
not.
Spiders.
You know who could actually fill in for Brian Dunaway? Crazy Neighbor is going to be in Anaheim at the same time as us for BlizzCon.
What? Is he going to BlizzCon? Doesn't seem
he's got it. There's a convention he's going to at the Disneyland Hotel, but we're absolutely getting together for dinner Wednesday night. So if you want to come see Crazy Neighbor,
finally meet
this night. You're going to be getting together Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, yeah.
Okay, I'm just trying to get it all trying to plan it. We need to talk more after we finish recording here.
All right, okay.
So we're taking a week off.
Yeah.
And then coming back at you the Sunday, Monday after the election, we're gonna watch Saturday Night Fever.
Assuming we're all here still after the
election. Assuming the world doesn't blow up.
Yeah. Assuming that they don't shut down the internet because
I'll be calling from Canada. Mm-hmm.
They got good internet up there. It's just a little bit expensive. But, we'll be back, and it's Saturday Night Fever. We're digging way back into the Travolta vault to his earliest big film success. I think prior to that, maybe Boy in the Bubble was the biggest thing he did. That was TV, so who knows. Anyway. Yeah.
And welcome back, Cotter.
Yeah. Like this. Or maybe Grease was before this. I don't remember. Was Grease?
I think Grease was like 76
second after that, right? 76 was Grease, or 77?
I can't remember what came first, but Disco, it's back, baby. So we're gonna
back
cover that.
Better than ever.
My memory is I hated it, so I'm excited to see it as an adult and decide if I was wrong or not. So that's all coming up in 2 weeks, because again, we're all at BlizzCon. Enjoy the week off. I know you'll miss us. We'll miss you people too, but we won't miss each other because we'll, for the most part, see each other, and we'll send some pictures of us to Dunaway flipping him off or something. It's all
gonna
be
some love.
Yeah.
Who are you calling you people?
It's a good point.
In my junk box.
you can find more stuff over at filmsack.com. That's our website. Everything's there. So all signs point to filmsack.com. All the subscription info you need, anything to do with the show, it's all there. Of course, the show's free wherever you get it. 801-471-0462 is the voicemail. You can also find us at filmsack@gmail.com and on Twitter @filmsack. Please leave us reviews on iTunes, because it helps us, or wherever you get your podcasts, Google Play, whatever. I don't care. It's all good. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. Wishing you a happy Halloween. We'll see you next time.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Shit.
This show is
part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Oh, I'll get more.
Naked.
Just had to finish your sentence for you there.